TML country. It's time to dance.
Markin for three. Got it.
For Shanahan again, she scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
Hey everybody, welcome in to Catamount Insider. We're thrilled to be joined this week by Lauren DeGroote of the women's soccer team. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Of course. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 2 of our season. If you're watching with us on YouTube, great. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts, even better. Also great. We thank you wherever you're finding Catamount Insider. And it's great to have everybody back for another episode. Lauren, your team's won back-to-back games. You're in second place in America East action. How much fun is it right now? You guys are having a great season at this point. What's working well for the group?
Yes, we are hitting our stride, you could say. I think it was a bit, I wouldn't say a rough patch with Bryant, because it was a tie. It was still undefeated. But something clicked when it got to New Hampshire. It felt like we were finally playing the way we need to play and want to play. And I think that's continuing to UMBC and will continue in the main.
A rough patch in the sense that you're a striker and there were no goals scored.
Yes, which is always frustrating because you're like, the defense did their job and yeah. I couldn't convert one, but it happens.
Well, you've scored in back-to-back games now. The team's sitting at 4-3-4. Like I said, second place in the league ahead of Maine's matchup this weekend. Tell me about the goals recently. Back-to-back games with a goal for you. What's been working for you on the offensive side?
Totally. Offensive side, things have been going great. We've been working a lot more individually with that offense group. Mm-hmm. And Christy, our head coach, has been really focusing on us finishing, not shooting, if that makes sense. So with that New Hampshire goal, it's my personal favorite angle, the crossbody right. But it's really just seeing where the keeper's not and placing it right there.
How long have you been a forward or a striker? Your whole life? Is that something that was something that you picked up later? Or tell me about just playing that position.
Yeah, I kind of played all over. In club, I played outside back because my coaches were like, she's fast, we'll just have her run up and down. And then high school, I played forward with a two front, which was always fun. And then I got here and I was actually recruited, I believe, as a winger. Mm-hmm. But then they started subbing me in for Boss a little bit, having me fill in that position. And around the end of my sophomore year is when forward really stuck.
Have you always been fast?
Yes, which is something that I was surprised by. I remember my mom, when I committed here, she commented on the post, like, get ready, Catamount Country, for some real speed. And I was like, Mom, no, like, everyone else is going to be that fast. Like, this is Division One.
Right.
And then I got here and I was like, oh, wait, like, I actually have some speed that I can use. So that's always fun to play with.
I'll tell you this, a quick story. One of our camera operators for all the women's soccer, men's soccer broadcasts, he's a baseball fan. He's just getting into soccer. But one time recently, somebody was asking about your guys' games, and he goes, wait, is that the – they were talking about just how the team played and what was going on. And I said – I think it was after the New Hampshire game when you had scored. And I said, yeah, they're playing well. And he goes, wait, you're talking about the really fast girl, right? She's my favorite, is what he said. And I knew immediately who he was talking about. And I just want to ask you about using that skill set, because it is such an individual part of the game that you have. How do you try to use being so quick and having that pace to your advantage and ways that you've kind of learned to utilize it?
Yeah, I think even now sometimes I don't know how to utilize it super well, but it definitely took adjusting. And I feel like it honestly isn't till this season that we feel like we really are able to use that, because mm-hmm. I feel like for so long it was following up and trying to play the way Boss played, and she was such an amazing player and there's mm-hmm. no feeling her shoes. So then Christy took me aside and was like, Lauren, we want you to play like Lauren. We don't want you to play like Boss. Mm-hmm. So I feel like now more girls are looking to send me through and realizing that I can run in behind the back line and they won't catch me.
What else do you bring to the game though, besides just speed? What are other things you think you do well?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty strong. I think I'm able to shield off the ball pretty well. I think I see myself as a bit of a chaos maker. I'm going to be a pest to the back line. I feel like those are specialties of mine.
Okay, talk to me about kind of transitioning into this starting role. You just kind of said it. You backed up Boss and were kind of that alternate option off the bench, running people ragged in that way. Stepping into the starting role this year, though, even before the year started, knowing that was going to be kind of your position, how did you approach that? And what was it like talking with Christy and the rest of the coaching staff?
Yeah, totally. Boss has left such massive shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they ever will be filled mm-hmm. because she did that role so well. So for me, I definitely felt pressure going into this. Like, it was mainly Boss and Bailey that were the offense of this group.
Right.
And Christy took Sydney and I aside and were like, don't be Boss and Bailey, be Lauren and Sid. Mm-hmm. So then we had to learn, and we're kind of hitting our groove at this point of how do we play off each other well with the minutes that we're given? Because mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes we would get on the field with not a ton of minutes and just try and do whatever we could. But now it's like we're settling into things and we're able to play off each other. I know when I get the ball, Sydney's screaming my name. When she gets the ball, I'm screaming her name. Like, we're looking for each other, and it's starting to click, and we're really grooving.
I know the formation's similar to in years past, and that setup similar. But how is this team stylistically maybe different from previous UVM teams you've played on?
Yeah, I think this team is different in the sense that this group specifically feels so different than mm-hmm. previous years mm-hmm. because of that COVID year. We had essentially 2 years graduate, the fifth years and seniors, and they were such powerhouses. And I know I was a bit nervous. I'm like, things are either going to really well or really bad. Because it feels like a full reset, especially mm-hmm. almost for the entire conference of women's soccer. And this year, it feels like people are really digging into what makes them special. Like, I know Della's going to be roasting people on the side. Emma's going to be a workhorse on her side. Like, Amelia's going to get into those dirty tackles. And, you know, Sydney's going to do her technical thing. And we're all leaning into that, and it's working.
Yeah, it is working. How much fun has it been to realize, I know we talked about it off the top, but a win at home against UNH, a shutout on the road against mm-hmm. UMBC, got to be satisfying to win a couple of conference games, right?
Yes, totally. And we always do our little, the starters get in their little huddle before, and we always go, guys, let's just have some fun today. Like, let's play soccer. Yeah. We're here.
Yeah. The shutout, the defensive performance, yes. What goes into that?
Absolutely. The defense puts their bodies on the line. Shout out to Tori. They are always putting in those slide tackles. They got into the shower the other day and they had a turf burn. Yeah. I think it was the size of a hand.
Oh my God.
Just from all of those like defensive slide tackles. And shout out to them because they took one. But it's Tori, it's Morgan, it's Bridget. What's something that makes that defensive unit special is Tori and Bridget are both left-footed. Mm-hmm. So they're able to just send those balls in and no one can read it. But even when we play 11s at practice, when I score on it, it almost feels more satisfying than a score against another team because I know how much like work they put into it and how much defense means to them.
A couple of your goals this season have come from those long balls from the back line. When Bridget or Morgan or Tori are looking forward and you see them receive, what's going through your mind? What are you kind of seeing on those plays?
Yeah, totally. We, as a team, work a lot on just like plays, mostly reading the other team of like if their head goes down, if they're going to do a long ball, mm-hmm. how do we adjust? But I feel like on the flip side for a forward, I'm looking at the keys of my backs of if they're going long or are we switching in or recycling? So now I'm able to pick up when Bridget or Tori is going long and how can I get in and attack the defender's back shoulder and, you know, make those through balls something special.
How do you feel like teams are defending you this year? Are there different ways that teams approach defending you and your skill set, or do you think approach you pretty similarly?
I would say every team is a different story.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give any secrets away about how to defend me. There's the like center backs who are going to get in your head and like get physical with you. Like, I know the one of the center backs, she was grabbing my arm, putting it behind me, like stepping on my toes, and that was very annoying. But otherwise, I think they try and foul me.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, last year at the end of the year, you had to deal with an injury.
Yes.
What's that process like of unfortunately that happens and you aren't able to contribute to the team? I'd imagine that's a really tough time for any athlete, but what was your experience like?
Yeah, so I, for those who don't know, tore my meniscus, got surgery and was back within 3 weeks, but that was my third knee surgery, which is brutal, and I don't wish that upon anyone, but it really forces you to take a step back and watch the team do what they do and make you grateful for the ability to play. Like, I know now sometimes I'll just get caught playing in the motions and I'll be like, wait, like, I can play right now and I feel good and I'm healthy and I should be grateful for this. And, you know, so I think just taking those things into account.
Having had prior injuries with the knee specifically, does that help during the rehab process? Does that make it more difficult? I'm curious about that side of getting back to full strength. We've talked a lot about your speed and your strength and wanting to get back to that 100% health level. What's that rehab process look like?
Absolutely. For me, it was having those previous surgeries really did help. Mm. I knew what it was going to look like going in. I kind of knew what to expect, and I knew how hard I could push myself and how soon I could safely get back. I remember our old trainer, shout out to Neil. He recently retired. He was amazing.
Congrats again to Neil. We've said yes. On this show before, but congrats again.
Congrats to Neil. He was rightfully so giving some pushback. I remember before surgery, I was like, Neil, I can get this done in 3 weeks or less. And he was like, I've never seen it done before. And I was like, watch, I'll do it. And I was back playing, I want to say, in 3 weeks in a game. So I think that previous experience, like, allowed me to know my boundaries of injury.
Okay, we go to last off season then. Yes. What as we talked about a bit, losing a big group of players from last year's team. How do you guys attack then that spring season? What were the things you were working on back then and really focusing on it, as it is a group that you know you're going to have some bigger roles for your class this coming year and some of the underclassmen as well?
Yeah, totally. It was in the spring we had a lot of meetings. Especially as a senior class, Christy took us aside and was like, what do you guys want to be as seniors? Like, what team do you want to build? This is going to be your guys' role. And all those seniors were kind of looking at each other like, I don't really know. Like, we had taken the back seat for so long, even as upperclassmen, because there were so many above us. So we worked on that. And then I remember in the beginning of spring, it was very much that void was evident. Mm-hmm. It was very noticeable. And by the end, we were kind of like, this is the group we got, and we're going to make something special out of it. And I feel like everyone worked very hard over the summer, because the group that left spring was not the same group that showed up at preseason in the best way possible. Mm. And now it's clicking.
Your summer was fun.
Yes.
Let's talk a little Vermont Green women's team briefly.
Absolutely.
So you got to play for the team this summer, mm-hmm. and it was just announced earlier today that Vermont Green FC women's team is now joining USLW.
Amazing.
How'd you react to that news? That's fun.
Yeah, so it was just announced today, as you said, and me and the other girls came in from training, and we looked at our phones, and the first thing we see is Vermont Green announced USLW, and we look at each other, and we're like, this is awesome. Like, we have the opportunity, please take us back, to play more soccer. Because it's so fun. The community really shows up for those Vermont Green games more than they do our own UVM games. Please come. But it's just like that Sam Lewis, that environment, those girls, they get such amazing girls to come. Yeah. And they school us. And it's so fun because it makes me enjoy soccer again. Mm-hmm. And it gives me that energy and joy of soccer. And I'm so excited for the future that's coming.
What was training like for getting ready for those games? Because you're right, there are some studs coming from Boston College, Penn State, Syracuse. You've got some big-time players coming to town training against you, and you're coached by Sam Lewis, who's a legend in her own right. Walk me into those training sessions and what you got from those times.
Yeah, those training sessions were some of the hardest that I have endured, especially that I remember that walking to that first one, we just did small-sided for what seemed like forever, and I remember panting because those girls were so good that I was just running everywhere. But it really just brought the level of soccer to that next thing. And mm-hmm. me and the other Vermont girls were kind of like, we got to show up too, like, this is our home turf. And we had our moments, but it really inspired me, and I wanted to bring that inspiration and creativity into this season at UVM.
That feeling then of getting out there and playing in front of that great crowd in this community, this soccer Vermont community that is more than just UVM, it's more than just Vermont Green, mm-hmm. but getting to get out there and represent on your home turf, how cool was that?
It was so cool. Yeah. It was, to this day, the coolest soccer experience I have had. Like, just seeing that, like, there's a video of the horde of just kids coming for autographs and mm-hmm. hi, can you sign this? I signed a kid's forehead. It was just so cool, and I want to experience that all the time. Yeah. I have that jersey hanging in my bedroom.
Getting coached by Sam Mewis.
Absolutely.
How cool.
So cool.
What did your relationship look like with her, and what was she like as a coach? Because I know she's talked about how she's still learning and trying to figure out what her own voice is like in that role. But from your perspective, what is Sam Mewis the coach like?
Sam Mewis as a coach is so, like, she would walk up and be like, "Hey guys, how we doing?" And you're like, "You're one, you're so tall. Two, you're here right now." Yeah. Like, I'm so used to seeing her in, like, videos and pictures, and this is, like, Sam Mewis, the icon, and then she's standing in front of you, and you're like, oh, my God. And you want to pick up every little thing she says. Mm-hmm. Like, this is gold. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I remember she would go around and give people coaching advice, and I remember being so conflicted because I was like, I want her to talk to me. But at the same time, I was like, wait, don't talk to me because that means I did something wrong. So, like, it was one of those, but it was so cool. And now I can probably say when I, like, see her out, I can be like, hey, coach. So
that's pretty great.
Now, pausing very briefly with Lauren DeGroot, we return to Catamount Insider in a moment.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Catamount Insider, and we go right back to our sit-down with UVM women's soccer striker Lauren DeGroot.
Okay, back to kind of this year and this team, as you have that great summer experience and the season gets started. How do you think your team right now is different than they were even back in August when the games were just getting rolling? What's changed for this group in just a month and a half, maybe 2 months?
Yeah, our coaches have really focused on our just, like, grit and work rate. Recently in film, they showed us, we conceded a goal, and they didn't even show the goal. They just showed our midfield. And no one recovered. And we all kind of looked around and was like, that's really bad. And ever since then, people have been, like, working their butts off, making those recovery runs, putting in the tackles. Our coaches, like, her word of last game was savagery. She was like, you guys showed up, and that was some savagery, like, getting in those tackles, making those recovery runs, getting the ball back. I feel like that's been what's changed recently.
That savagery. That's going to stick in my head. I love that.
Shout out to Christy.
What are the coaches like? Tell me about your relationship with Christy and Michael and the whole coaching staff. You obviously played with Lainey, and she's now on staff. What's that group like?
The coaches, honestly, I don't have many complaints. Yeah. They have been amazing, and they are so just, like, empathetic. I feel like sometimes with coaches, you get caught and they're, like, torching you in film, like, you need to be here. But, like, we had film today, and it was pretty much just, like, a highlight reel of things to keep doing. That's the kind of the difference that our coaches put, and they're just, like, not your friends, but, like, more than a coach, if that makes sense. Yeah, sure. This has been my first time coached by a woman also. Amazing experience.
Yeah,
very, awesome. Very awesome.
That's great. How'd they get you to come from Oregon?
So
Lake Oswego is your hometown, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Lake Oswego. There's a weird Oregon Vermont pipeline.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes. So it was Jill Brody who started it. Yeah. And Jill Brody grew up, like, 20 minutes from me, and we're family friends with the Brodies. And then I played on the same club team as Tori for, like, I think since 7th or 8th grade.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
We all played in the same high school conference. So then Jill went to Vermont, and then Tori went to Vermont. I remember I was dealing with my second knee surgery, and I was like, this is going to mess up recruiting. Like, where do I go? And I was telling Tori all about this, and Tori was like, why not Vermont? And I was like, I'll look into it. Saw they had my academic program. Kept reaching out, talking to Tori and Jill, and they were like, we're going to butter up the coaches. Like, we got you.
Nice.
And then next thing I knew, I got that offer and accepted that day.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Are there similarities between Vermont and Oregon? Sometimes people say that to me.
Yeah, there are similarities. Definitely in, like, the nature-loving, like, liberal ist way.
Sure.
Northern attitude. But also very different.
Okay.
More like the East Coast, West Coast stereotypes, if you will.
Mm, interesting.
So.
Okay, I'm going to ask you more about Oregon in a little bit in our chat with the yes. segment. I'm curious. Maddie Gardner's another one, Oregon, too, yes. now, right? Transferred in.
Yes. Maddie Gardner, Bend.
Yes.
And also, I'll give Kaylee some credit. She grew up in Bend as well
before
moving to Hawaii.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, like, we'll put 4.5.
Yeah, that counts.
That counts.
Sure.
Yes, Maddie has been a fantastic add. Mm-hmm. This team rarely gets transfers.
Right.
That's something that Chrissy prides herself in, is really developing her players. Mm-hmm. So when we do get a transfer, we're always kind of, like, interested. We're like, all right, like, let's see. And I remember that summer, Mike was like, all right, like, Maddie's pretty fast. Like, you think she's going to beat you? And I was like, I don't know. There's no way. But she has been very, very fun to play off because of she's also very strong, very fast. Mm-hmm. So her and I are able to look for each other because I feel like we play similarly on the field.
Yeah.
So she's been putting in some bangers as well. Like that header goal against Northeastern.
Clutch.
That goal against New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Top ends. Yeah. It was awesome. She's been fitting right in.
When was the last time somebody was faster than you on a soccer field? Can you remember a time?
I mean, actually,
you'd love that challenge, I can tell.
Yes. I remember my first ever game. It was here, South Carolina, home opener, and I was a freshman.
They were number 3 in the country, if I remember right.
Yes, yeah. And I remember Chrissy put me on the field, and I was a wide-eyed freshman. Like, you want me to go against South Carolina? Mm-hmm. Like, okay. I remember I tried to sprint past a girl, and I couldn't, and I was like, that's all I got. Like, I don't know what else to do. They put up a challenge, and also Dartmouth was very athletic when we played them.
Morgan Berry in yes. practice, what is she like to go up against? You can tell us that experience because I would not want to be in that spot.
Yes. Oh, my God. Me and the other forwards always joke about going against Morgan because she, I mean this in the best way possible, is a dirty defender.
Yeah.
She will do anything it takes to, like, not let you get past her.
Mm.
She, I remember we do a drill where it's kind of like offense versus defense in the box. And I was posted up on her and she had her arms like up here, elbows in me. She'll like lunge at you. Her legs are like can span a mile. So like getting past her is very, very tricky.
Sophomore captain as well. That's yes. pretty impressive. You don't see that often.
Not often at all. Morgan was someone who came in very, very loud in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
We want our freshmen to feel like they have a voice. And mm-hmm. she definitely used that.
Mm-hmm.
And Chrissy respects that. And we had also both our captains graduated. So she wanted to get someone young to like progress into and grow into that role. And Morgan's been very well, like she's yeah. been doing well so far.
Okay. Let's talk about just what's upcoming the rest of the season
yes.
to wrap up. Goals for this team. Where do you guys feel like you can go? What are the, not expectations, but just where's your belief at? What are the goals for this group that you want to accomplish?
Goal is always all the way.
Yeah.
Goal is always put a ring on this finger. It's been, my class is the most recent one that hasn't experienced a conference like title.
Yeah.
So that is something that we are hungry for. We want that. We want that. We want that first round bye. We want to host at home. We want to show out for Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make Vermont a soccer state for women's soccer too.
Well, okay, let's touch on this right here,
yeah.
then, the underdog sign. A men's team that goes and wins a national title doesn't happen every day at
no.
any school. And for Vermont, even more rare, a school at this level. What does that do when it's on the opposite side of you guys? The men's team goes and does it. How does that affect your program? Same sport, and they're going to do that. Does that inspire you? Does that challenge you? What was that like from your perspective last year?
We were hoping to get more budget. No, no, it was super inspiring. I know a lot of our girls made that trip down for that national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, because I was all the way back in Oregon, but I was watching, and on my Whoop, the stress level was all the way up watching that game. It was awesome. So I think just like seeing the impact that they've had, and also Vermont Green, their championship,
sure.
double yeah. championship.
Crazy.
It's just like seeing Vermont become this soccer state, and you kind of want to prove that you can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of lit a fire under our ass in a sense that's
yeah.
like, no, like, all right, we're going to make this thing 3 for 3.
Mm. Now pausing very briefly with Lauren DeGroote, we return to Catamount Insider in a moment.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Chat with Cats with Lauren DeGroote. Okay, Lauren, we've talked about a bunch of stuff, all soccer, things so far. Let's just start with, what are you studying now in your senior year? What's your school like, academic life like?
Yes, I am an exercise science major.
That makes sense.
Right? Fitting. Yeah. No one's ever surprised by that.
No.
But that was also what brought me here. I would be lifting even if I wasn't an athlete. I love it. And I love all of my classes, and I'm able to put that into use with my own training. And I love having those conversations with Perry, our strength trainer, who is also an exercise science alumni. So that's always very fun.
How long is that something you knew you wanted to study and pursue?
Since my first knee surgery, actually.
No way.
Yeah.
When was that?
I tore my ACL when I was a freshman in high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's young.
Very young.
How'd you handle that back then?
I didn't even know what an ACL was.
Yeah.
I was so young. Took me out for like 9 months, but I came back and it taught me love of exercise because it put me in the gym. And I got stronger and faster, and now I'm here.
What is it about being in the gym that just, because people who love the gym, they live
love
by it.
Yes.
That's absolutely it. What is it for you that just makes that something that's so addicting?
I think it's just rewarding. You get in what you get out. And there's so many different ways to train. And the more you learn about it, the more you're like, well, I want to try this. I want to try that. Oh, like this new thing came out. Let's try that. Like, it's just very fun.
Okay. From that standpoint, what does it do beyond just for your athletic life? Because people often talk about the impact that habit has outside of it. Do you feel that impacting you in other ways?
Absolutely. This is actually funny enough. I'm doing grad applications, and that was one of the essays I wrote.
Cool.
So for me, it was like, the schedule that I have, I need to fit in exercise into that. And yes, rest days are so important.
Sure.
But I remember my sports psychology professor did a study, and he said exercise boosts mood for 12 hours and cognitive ability. So then I would make it a point to like go in and exercise before I would take a test or something. So it's just like fitting that into my daily life.
Inspiring me to go work out after this one. I have not gotten my exercise in yet today. So
no stress.
We're going to have to figure that out at some point. Play any other sports growing up, or has it always just been soccer?
So I did gymnastics and track and soccer growing up. Soccer was always, can I say, predestined.
Sure.
My grandpa, my opa, growing up, he actually, you guys can research this, but he committed Division I for track as a sprinter.
That's where speed comes from.
Yes, him.
Got
and my
it.
Mom will say her.
Okay.
But my opa, he was a short sprinter. And beyond that, then he transferred over and did sprints and was a soccer striker. And he was named Mr. Soccer. And he had, I didn't want to say he averaged like 3 goals a game. Like, he was crazy. At University of Denver, you can
producing.
Look it up. Producing. So he was a striker. And then my dad, he coached my dad, who also did soccer all the way up to University of Oregon. They don't have a men's program, but he did a club. And then he coached me. And he was like, you're going to play soccer and you're going to be a striker. So, third generation sprinter, striker, built some pressure, but I love it.
Ever any thought of actually being a sprinter? You do have the wheels, but I don't know if you hold up against the UVM track and cross country teams.
We'll see. It's very funny you say that. My dad recently was visiting and he was like, your senior spring, like you can do track. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of like having my mornings.
Fair.
But track was my backup plan.
Yeah.
I was going to take my times and try and walk on somewhere if I didn't get soccer.
Makes sense. Okay, big transition.
Yes.
You've been in Burlington now 4 years. Do you have a favorite spot to eat around town? Go to Burlington food, just
yes.
a place you've got to go if somebody's visiting.
Yes, and I'm not just saying that because my NIL has run out. But Foligno's, right by my house, when I need like a late night dinner, when I'm like not wanting to cook, I'll order and pick it up and just enjoy.
You're driving around in your car. What music is Lauren DeGroot listening to?
I've been really liking Olivia Dean recently. Oh. And my teammates will tell you this. Okay. Ask Sydney Remington. She'll be like, Lauren put me onto Olivia Dean.
Okay. Is that different from pregame music?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Who's on aux in the locker room? It's always either Lizzie. Lizzie's mostly on aux.
Interesting.
Or sometimes Kate Figg.
Okay.
Those two jump around.
Interesting. Okay, mm-hmm. So they're in charge of the aux. I just want to wrap up with, if you weren't playing soccer, we've talked about it some, exercise science, maybe mm-hmm. track. Beyond sports, what are the things that you love doing and spending your time on that kind of can get you away from that part of your life?
Yeah. West Coast Guilty. I love to hike.
I was going to ask you about some of this stuff. Yep. Yes, let's get into that.
I mean, growing up on the West Coast, they have the best hikes. No one fight me, but it's true. So scenic, so amazing. And that's something I want to do when I have more time.
Yeah.
Is I love hiking and I love baking when I have time.
Okay.
So all things that when I have time I can do. I'll admit this, I'm a nerd. I'll play video games because my older brother was a computer science guy.
Oh, okay.
So the younger sister that he
sure.
always
Follow
rubbed up on me. Yeah.
A little bit. Nice. Okay, what do you miss about Oregon? I know the hikes, the West Coast. What is it about that place that is home to you, that feels like home?
It's always home. When I think of Oregon, I think of green, beautiful lakes, Pacific Ocean, actual mountains in the distance, Rocky Top Mountains. I think of growing up, going to the Timbers and Thorns games and getting their autographs. It's just, it's home.
Those games are pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met up with Sam Coffey's parents,
yeah.
which sounds crazy to say, yeah. but I don't know how that connect happened, but we sat with their parents at the game, and then they were like, we're bringing you down to the field, like, follow us. And then we got to meet Sam, and they were like, hey, Sam, this is this random girl we met. And I was like, hi, like, I play at UVM.
She was at Penn State when I was at Penn State, by
yes.
the way. Yeah, we were both
oh
there
God.
At the same time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she would become what she became, but she was very good even then. And it's okay, that player sticks out.
Yeah.
Watch,
and
so
now
that
she's
makes sense.
A Portland icon, yeah, but yeah.
That's for sure. Lauren, thanks so much for doing this. This has been great to get to know you and hear about the season. This weekend on the road at Maine, everybody tune in. I've got a noon start time, Eastern. So everybody mm-hmm. check out Lauren DeGroot. You'll see her stand out with pure sprinting speed, probably amongst other things. Thanks again for doing
awesome.
This, Lauren.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks again to Lauren for joining us on Catamount Insider this week. If you're still with us, I thank you for wherever you're finding this podcast. I do encourage you, though, to go check it out on YouTube as well. We've got some really fun elements over there that are just, I think, adding to the show. So if you want to see my sit down with Lauren, you can check it out on the Catamount Athletics YouTube page. So much exciting action going on around Catamount country this time of year. Hoping to bring you a couple more interviews as we go forward. Might not be two interviews on YouTube every week, but hoping to add a second interview on the audio side of things going forward here. We've got ice hockey getting started. I want to talk about the field hockey team who's off to a great start this year. Basketball's on the horizon, cross country team in the swing of things. So there's a lot to talk about all around Catamount country. And of course, you can always find everything you need to know about UVM athletics right here on Catamount Insider. Hope you enjoyed this week's show, everybody. Thanks again to Lauren, who was just excellent. Such a great personality. So happy and so gracious with her time to share it with us. And a really great story, somebody who was a backup for most of her career, now thriving as a starter, really loves being here in Burlington and has come to call this place home. So I really appreciate Lauren DeGroot once again for joining the show. You can find us next week. We'll be back on Friday morning. Every episode drops Friday morning every week this year. So stick with us. Catamount Insider will continue next week.